Welcome to A More Beautiful Life Collective. We know that in the hectic hurry of everyday life, it's easy to lose sight of what really matters. This is a moment to pause and realign your focus on the one who gives us peace and rest. We are focusing on discipleship, productivity, and homemaking as we live with eternity in mind. This is the place where you'll learn to create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. Hey everyone, and welcome back to A More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. I'm Casey Fletcher, and this is season one, episode 12. In season one of the podcast, we're talking all about habits that lead to a strong and vibrant spiritual life. If you've been enjoying this podcast, please leave a rating and review wherever you're listening. This will help others find the show, and I'd be so grateful for your support. Now on to the episode. As we begin, I want you all to close your eyes and imagine back to your middle school and teen years. Think of all the crazy memories that you have with friends, your first loves and broken hearts, late nights and long days of school and homework and sports and more. Now, I want you to think about what your room looked like. Okay, for a select few of us, maybe your room was pristine, whether because you liked it that way or because you were forced to keep it that way. But I think for the rest of us, I'm sure you can remember those days when you walked into your room and there was no place on your floor to even get through. Clothes were everywhere, dirty dishes were stacked up, and who knows the last time that you changed your sheets. I remember those days. My parents were pretty organized and clean, but generally our rooms were our responsibility. So I was what I call a cycle cleaner. Everything would generally pile up in my room until it was completely trashed. Then I would get annoyed enough and spend hours cleaning and rearranging my room, only to go through the same process again just a few weeks later. Cleaning is something that we all have to take part in. The care and ordering of our possessions is just a symptom of being human. Honestly, along with eating, cleaning is probably one of the most universal actions that we do. We all have to work at getting our lives in order. But somehow we've relegated this topic to the housewife or maybe the maid. The rest of us do the chore begrudgingly, viewing it as something that we just have to hurry through to get to the real living that we must do. Others of us just don't clean. We live in a place that might be better described as the chaos of modern day living. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this theology of cleaning and some best practices for decluttering and stewarding what you have. Importantly, we want to make our lives beautiful. And truly, I think the best way to do that is to make sure the spaces around us are clean, ordered, and peaceful. You need to work at getting your life in order. So let's dive in. In those middle school years, it didn't really matter if my room was utter chaos. I survived. I had the time to devote a few hours to cleaning a small space. As you get older, you start to shoulder more and more responsibilities. It's why we see the utterly trashed rooms of college students. Probably in the beginning, their parents were there. They may have gotten their rooms perfectly set up and maybe even decorated. But once the parents left, those kids were on their own, and they were the ones that had to take care of their space. Adulting is hard. And one of the most challenging things, probably other than maybe sticking to a budget and cooking, is cleaning. The routines of cleaning, it can be tricky to master, but hopefully by the time that you leave home to be on your own, you know how to do your own laundry, scrub a toilet, keep the dishes under control, or if not, you'll learn sooner or later. What I didn't know was the importance of decluttering. I didn't know the importance of getting my life in order. Now, as a kid, I never had trouble getting rid of things. I held on to maybe a few things for sentimental reasons, but I was always quick to go through and get rid of unwanted shoes, clothes, books, and toys. So I never thought that I would struggle with this idea of decluttering or hoarding my stuff. I never thought it would be something that would be challenging for me. So on our last episode, we talked about our stuff. And we talked about how this stuff, just like our pursuit of wealth, has a way of multiplying exponentially. Before you know it, we've spent a lifetime working to have money for things that are stuffed in a closet that we don't even really remember that we have. I said this in the last episode, and I think it's important to restate. Our stuff is like weeds. It multiplies and it chokes out the good fruit that we can produce. It causes stress and puts pressure on our social lives. So why does our stuff choke out the godly fruit of our lives? Sometimes I don't think we think about the implications of all the things that we have to take care of. We think that this is just something that's normal, that it's just modern day life. We have all these things and we have all this time and effort that we spend into getting more things. But I think it's important to recognize that there are real consequences for the amount of stuff that we own. Our stuff can choke out the godly fruit of our lives because one, it sucks away our time. We spend so much time cleaning and taking care of our stuff. I recently went through and I organized my whole house. And through that process, I got rid of a lot of my things. I can attest that if you go through the decluttering process, it's so much easier to clean up a space quickly. So by going through that process, you get more time back into your life. The second reason that our stuff can choke out the godly fruit of our lives is because it sucks away our focus. If you're in a disorganized space, it draws away your focus and is distracting. We talked about noise pollution in a previous post on the blog, and you can look in the show notes for where that post is located. Clutter can operate in the same way. So noise pollution, what we talked about in that post was that if you're in a space that you have a lot of sounds going on around you, it actually makes your mental processing slower. It can make it harder to think. And so if you could think about this, you could think about maybe construction noises or traffic or even having the TV on in the background. It actually makes it hard for your mental processes, your working memory to get what it needs to done. And so it can kind of give you almost brain fog because of that. Well, clutter can operate in the same way. And the reason why is because instead of it being noise pollution, where it's your hearing that's getting cluttered up, instead it's your visual perception. It's the visual stimulation. And so it adds in visual pollution to your workspaces. According to several different studies, clutter can lead to a poor working memory. I think the main reason why it can do this to your working memory is because clutter represents open loops. And this was a concept that was popularized by David Allen's Getting Things Done. I'd recommend that book. I might talk about it later on in the podcast, in a future podcast. But open loops are basically just things that we need to get done that we haven't yet. So every open loop around us takes up mental space because it adds to a mental to-do list. So just think about right now. So scan your where you're working at right now. Now you might be in the car. So, you know, if you're in the car, maybe you could think about something that you're doing in the car, but it might not be the same. But if you're in a physical space, especially somewhere in your house, if you look around, you can probably see something that you need to get done. So this is like that clutter. And so it creates this open loop because every time you look at it, you're like, I need to take care of that thing. And so you put it in a mental to-do list. Now, one of the things that David Allen talks about is that if you put it in your mind, but you never write it down, then you're just basically trying to hold it in your mind so you don't forget. So you're taking up brain space, just trying not to forget the thing that's in your mind. Whereas if you write it down, or if you just take care of it, it gets it out of your mind so that your brain power can focus on other things. So it's just stuff that's not fixed or dealt with. And that's what clutter is. Clutter is things that exist in your space that you don't know the next action for. So you can think of piles of paper on your desk or stuff or a project that never got completed. So these are things that you want to finish, but you don't really have a home for. So it sucks away your mental energy and focus. Clutter and our stuff can also suck away our resources. The more stuff that we have, the more we spend buying things to organize that stuff. We can also even forget that we have stuff and go out and buy duplicates of things because it's not organized. So that's obviously a major waste of our time, energy, and resources. So I want you to think about what I just said because I think we hear this. And if you're listening right now, you might, you've stuck with me long enough to really get to the meat of what we're talking about. I think if I say, hey, we're going to talk about cleaning today, you immediately either, maybe you're listening because you want to have a good routine because cleaning is a struggle for you. And maybe you're the person who is in charge of that at home. So that's why you're listening. Or a lot of people, if it's not your responsibility, maybe you're the breadwinner. So you work outside the home, or maybe you have somebody that does it, or maybe you just you are the person responsible, but you really think that it doesn't really matter. It's just a chore that you have to get done. I think that it's important for us to understand that there's theological implications for this. And again, I want to remind you that, just like I said, you know, cooking, we talked about this in our episode on family mealtimes, which if you haven't listened to that one, I'd really encourage you to go back and listen to it. But in that episode, we talked about all of the theological implications for eating and what eating shows us about God and our relationship to Him. Eating shows us that we're dependent upon God. Eating shows us that we are also dependent upon one another. And so that daily doing this process of preparing meals and eating together with other people reminds us of really profound truths about God. That's the same thing with cleaning. Going through these processes where we are cleaning and taking care of these things, it reminds us truths about God. And so understanding our relationship with our stuff, in the last episode, we talked about how Jesus primarily talked about our stuff and our pursuit of wealth throughout much of the book of Luke. And the reason why is because I think our stuff can easily become an idol in our life. And so by going through some of these processes and reminding ourselves of how cleaning is something that we do and that there's theological implications for that, that show us truths about God, it can just help to reorient our heart towards Him. And I think one of the reasons why is because the process of cleaning and ordering our stuff reminds us that our stuff is not an idol, it's just a tool. And so by ordering it physically, we can also order it in our hearts, where we remind ourselves to put God in the most primary place of worship in our hearts. And so I think it's important. So understanding this, we have to remind ourselves what our stuff can do to the godly fruit of our lives. So like I said, our stuff can suck away our time, our mental energy, and our resources. And so just like weeds suck away the nutrients from plants and cause them to wither, our stuff, if it's allowed to, can suck away the vital things from our lives and cause the good fruit of our lives to wither. Our time, our focus, our resources should all be directed at making God's kingdom known now, like we talked about in episode 8. But when our lives are taken over by our things, we end up directing our focus on those things. So our things become an idol, not even really because we love them or want them. It's because they direct our attention and thus our lives. You need to give yourself the direction to create a space in your life for what truly matters. And part of that starts with cleaning. It starts with ordering your life. So what is the antidote to a life ruled by stuff? It's to have an ordered life, an organized life, and a decluttered life. Now, this is not a new concept. For several years, Marie Kondo's The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up took the world by storm, and everyone talked about how their possessions did or did not spark joy in their life. Now, I love a good home improvement show, and one of the most satisfying ones to watch are those that take the drab, cluttered spaces of people's houses, and they organize them into nice, neat rows of matching decor and furniture, so they're updated, neat, and new. But is this really the antidote to clutter? In the last episode, we talked about how materialism can be an idol. If we exchanged a cluttered, disorganized life for a life where everything must be new and nothing can be out of place, we're just exchanging one idol for another. The heart issue is still going to be there. So we have to strike that balance between cleanliness and disorganization without being ruled by our things. In our episode on technology, we talked about the importance of putting technology in its proper place. We also have to put our stuff in its proper place, both literally and figuratively. They actually have a term for this in cooking, which I thought was interesting. It's called mise en place or mise en place. I don't know. But basically, there's 5 steps or principles for a mise en place, and they're to know your recipe, prepare your ingredients, arrange your ingredients, prepare your workstation, and arrange your tools. So basically, this term was created by a guy named, and I don't know how to say this, I don't know French, but his name was Auguste Cuvier, I don't know, a former soldier. So he basically took ideas from the military, and then he brought them into the kitchen. So he brought this idea of precision and determination from military life into the kitchen. And at first, not everybody agreed with him, but then after they finished following his practices, and after they saw how much it actually helped, they found that it profoundly impacted the workflow of the kitchen. So I think that this can be the same thing for us. At first, it's going to feel unnatural to have this order in your life. But we recognize that after we practice doing this, it's going to affect our workflow, our productivity, and then we can actually accomplish so much more. And so when we're being productive for the sake of the gospel, we can do great things. And that's why it's important to make sure that we bring this order in our life, because I think that we'll be surprised at how much that we can actually accomplish once we have it. And so I think we want to make sure that we are living our lives where we can be as productive as possible. Living a clean and orderly life matters now. And it also matters in light of eternity. So we must start with getting our life in order. The Bible actually talks about this in the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read you a passage from Proverbs 24, 29 through 34. And I think most of us would think that we are very accomplished, very productive. But I think if we look at how the Bible describes some of these people, we might actually see that maybe we're not productive. Maybe we're the opposite of that, which in the Bible they use, depending on the translation that you use, they use the term sluggard or lazy man. But we have to be aware of who we are. Are we the sluggard? Are we being productive for the gospel? So in Proverbs 24, 29 through 34, it says, "I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of someone who has no sense. Thorns had come up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed, and I learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man." So in these verses, the sluggard has neglected his house. And I think this is interesting. And again, stick with me, because I think this is something that really shows you a profound truth if you look at what this is saying. So the places that he has neglected are his field, his vineyard, and his stone wall. So these three places are things that could be producing food and drink for him, but they're destroyed simply because of the sluggard's negligence. So to put it another way, again, food and drink, they are what give humans life. It's how we survive. We have to eat and drink. But in the case of the sluggard, the areas of his land that produced that food and drink, so his field, his vineyard, his stone wall, they were covered with weeds and they had fallen into disrepair. So the life-giving areas of where he lived were left to rot. And I think it's interesting that, again, it's not because the sluggard had taken, you know, a hammer out and tried to destroy all these different places. It was just because he was too lazy to take care of them, that he was negligent. That is why those things were being destroyed. I can imagine him saying, "Well, I'll get to that tomorrow. No worries. Today I can just relax because I've been working too hard." But the constant deferring of taking care of what he owned led to its destruction. It was destruction by omission, yes, the omission of work, but it was still destruction. At this point, you might be thinking, well, how does that apply to me? I don't have, some of us do, but most of us don't have a vineyard in the back, or a garden even, or a stone wall where you have to keep your animals in a fence. You might be thinking, okay, well, how does this actually matter to me today in modern day America, where most of us don't grow our own food, though many of us now are starting to? I think now, because we don't have to take care of these things to stay alive until the next harvest, since we don't rely on our own agricultural produce, we might tune out and not really understand how this can apply to us today. But I think that this idea of taking care of what we own is true in a much more general and profound way. And the reason why is because I think we often let things go because we don't have the mental bandwidth. That's very popular to say today, that we don't have the mental bandwidth to deal with certain things at that moment. But I think years of making that decision that we just don't have the mental bandwidth, or we don't have it together enough to deal with certain things, years of making that decision to neglect areas of our life, they end up having major consequences. Years of saying, you know, oh, well, I'm going to get to that tomorrow. Eventually it will add up. And so the life-giving areas where we have to have these things to survive, the life-giving areas of our life that produce fruit in our life, they're being destroyed. And they're destroyed not because we're choosing to tear those things down. They're destroyed just because we're letting things go until the next day because we have too much stuff to deal with to take care of what's actually important. So because of our stuff, we don't have the discernment to understand that certain things need our attention more than other things. And the things that need our attention are the things that produce life. So in the proverb, it would be your fields, your vineyards, your stone wall. But in modern day America, that might look a little bit different. But you need to look at what produces life, and you need to take care of those things first. I think this goes back to our original discussion on habits in episode 2. The small daily decisions that you make end up determining the whole course of your life. Every little decision adds up to something big. When you neglect areas of your life, whether that's car maintenance, a leaky faucet, or a crack in your foundation, you're going to end up with big problems down the road. And so I think it's important to recognize the dichotomy between the sluggard's farm with its overgrown vineyards and crumbling fence and a productive farm. To get the sluggard's farm going, you'd have to do quite a bit of work. So your attention and your effort really isn't even going directly into producing productive things. So basically, you're being spent doing what you should have done yesterday. He has to do more work to get things going. And if you've ever, you know, some of us have probably done this. I've done this too with my garden. So we have a garden area out that the previous owners of this house had put in. And so we had started a garden 1 year and, you know, we didn't take care of it. So we were being like the sluggard in that sense. And it kind of got grown up. And if you let your garden get grown up, at some point, you know, you're going to have weeds that are taller than you are. And so you're going to have to bring in, you know, pretty heavy equipment. Like, you can't just go out there and start planting things. You have to bring in a bush hog or something like that to be able to mow it down to even get to the point where you can plant something. And so doing little actions every day will get your life in order, and it's going to help you be more productive. And it will also eliminate the waste of time that comes with letting things go and then spending days trying to correct it. It's the same thing of, you know, if you have a leak, you know, maybe you have a leak underneath your cabinet. And so if you let things go, you're going to end up having to rip out all of your cabinets because you're going to have water damage. And so there's little things that you have to do that you could go out and fix that faucet, and it wouldn't take you that long. But if you wait and you have to fix a whole cabinet, that's going to be a day's worth of work that you're going to have to do. The Bible is clear that we have to take care of what we own. In theological terms, in Christian circles, we use this term stewardship. When we're stewarding something, we're taking care of it for someone else. Like we talked about in our last episode, what we own, we use as tools to glorify God. So we're given all of these things, our house, our fields, so things that produce work, our productive things in our lives, our families, our wealth, and everything else in order to glorify God with those things. And so it's on us to make sure that we're taking care of those things well. Proverbs 27, 23 through 27 says, "Know well the condition of your flocks and give attention to your herds. For riches do not last forever, and does a crown endure to all generations?" This kind of makes me think of my car. Now, there's two different types of people in the world. There are those who generally have neat cars and their cars are washed, and most of the time they're even vacuumed. And then there's the rest of us, where your car is not vacuumed and there's several takeout bags lying in the back. And if you have young kids, it's even worse, with crumbs and clothes and random toys sprawled along the backseat of your car. And then you don't even want to look underneath the seats because who knows what's underneath there. And if it gets under there, it's probably never going to be seen again. Growing up, I used to know this lady who she had, you know, a nice suburban SUV, but she used it as like a trash can. So she would regularly go to like McDonald's. And when she was done, she would take her food and drink and she would like toss out, you know, the water outside her door or whatever. And then she would just throw it in the back of her SUV. And so like literally you would look at the back and there'd be so much trash. It would be almost like to the back seat, the top of the back seat of the car. And so every month or two, she would spend a day just cleaning out the back of her car. So she would like take all of it, trash bags worth of, you know, trash and things like that, and have to throw it away. So I try to get in the habit of regularly cleaning my car. So every time I leave my car, I take any trash or cups or kids stuff inside, even if I have to make an extra trip. So doing this means that my car never becomes a project like that. So instead of being, you know, like this lady who she had to take an entire day to clean out the back of her car and vacuum it and wash it because there was trash back there and, you know, that can stain different things. Instead, you know, with my car, there's never like trash or anything left there. Sometimes there'll be, you know, a toy that gets left in the car, or maybe occasionally I'll have to go through and vacuum because you still get like dirt and stuff in your car, but I never have to spend more than 10 minutes cleaning at a time. Misty Winkler, she is the host of Simply Convivial, and she talks about this. She talks about the difference between projects and routines in life. So a project is something that takes quite a bit of time and mental effort. So it'd be something that you would like put on your to-do list. So maybe if you have a job, like saying, okay, I got to get, you know, this project done at a job, like a roof, or, you know, grading a set of papers or whatever. So that would be something that it becomes something that you have to do and you have to write down. For me, you know, I used to be a teacher, and one of the things that you would say would be a project is maybe planning the next test. So that is something that would take mental effort and I'd have to get it done. Now, a routine is different. A routine is just something that you don't really have to think about. It's a habit. So a routine would be every day I come in and I get, you know, a marker and I, you know, clean the whiteboard and write the new date on it and maybe write down what we're doing that day. Or every day I go through and I flip through the slides of what we're teaching so I know what we're doing and maybe update the bell ringer. That would be something that was just a habit. Like, I don't even have to think about it because I just know I have to do it. And I know kind of the process of doing that. And so it requires very little willpower to get that thing done. Whereas grading a stack of essays requires quite a bit of willpower to get it done. And so in the example of my car, if you have to spend a day cleaning out your car of how messy it is, that's going to become a project. And it's going to take a sizable amount of effort, not to mention time, to accomplish it. Every time you leave your car, you're going to have to think about the fact that you need to get that thing done. And it becomes something that you kind of dread. You know something is a project if it's something that you keep putting off. Like, you're like, no, I'm going to procrastinate. I'm not going to do that thing. You know that you've turned something that you need to do into a project. But then if I have it as a routine, like every time I leave my car, you take what you don't need out of the car, the mental effort of that action is actually very small. I just know, okay, maybe I have to take one trip or two trips to my car instead of just one. And so the first time I'm going to take any trash out of the car. And then the second time I'm going to get, you know, the kids and my purse and all that kind of stuff. And so that routine has become effortless because I do it out of habit. So this is how you create these sustainable cleaning routines. You don't need to take a class. You don't need to, you know, really, I mean, you can read books, and I'm going to do a blog post on all these different books that have helped me with decluttering. But really, the way that you can create order in your life is you create these habits or routines out of things that you used to categorize as projects. So technically, you might not be really spending any more time on cleaning if it's a project versus a routine. So with the example of the car, if your car is really messy, or maybe you have a lot of trash or something like that, you might spend, you know, 3 or 4 hours cleaning. But spending, you know, 5 minutes every day taking stuff out of your car, that might actually end up totaling 3 hours once a day a month. But the difference with this is the amount of effort, the mental energy, and the amount of willpower that you put into it. You spend less willpower if you do it every day versus if you do it once a month. And so that is why you'll be more likely to keep up with a routine. And that's why you'll feel like your life is under control, that your life is ordered. And then too, if you're doing that, you'll feel like you're not really ruled by your stuff anymore because you're putting your stuff in a proper place because you have routines to do that thing. Now, a quick caveat with this, I think sometimes we're ruled by perfectionism, and that's more of a desire to appear like we have our life together than to steward what we have well. Instead of just seeking to make what we own productive and God-glorifying, we want to be perfect so that it glorifies us. And this obviously can be an idol. It can be toxic behavior for everyone around you. We shouldn't seek to clean and have an ordered life just for our own glory. And we shouldn't seek just to have a nice house or the latest fad or the most likes on Facebook. Anything done for our own glory will always lead us down the wrong path towards sin. Proverbs 14:4 says, "Where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but increase comes by the strength of an ox." And all the moms with kids say amen. If you have life happening in your house, there's naturally going to be messes. If you're on a job site, it's going to be messy, and it should, because things are happening. Things are getting done. It's your own version of a productive life, giving field or vineyard. If you've ever had livestock, you know that the mess they can make. The mess comes with productivity. It comes with action and hard work. But we have to have discernment that allows us to know the difference between productive mess and unproductive disrepair. A productive mess is just a project that's in the works. Think of our mise en place that we talked about at the beginning of the episode. If you're cooking dinner in the kitchen, your kitchen is obviously not spotless. You're going to have your food out, your tools out, and you're busy chopping and cooking away to prepare. So there's order and productivity, but there's order and productivity in the mess. This is very different than unproductive disrepair. When there is nothing getting done, things may still be messy, but they will also grow to be chaotic. And before you know it, problems will multiply just because of disuse. So you can think of a car engine that's been sitting around for too long, a vacant house that hasn't been used, or a garden that's overgrown with weeds. When people aren't busy ordering their environments, chaos sets in. And I believe this is why God commanded us in the very beginning to go out and subdue the earth. When you are working on stewarding the earth, it can be more productive and beautiful than you can imagine. There's actually been studies of small homestead agriculture coming into areas and cultivating lush ecosystems. So this is not due to a rewilding of the area. It's due to the cultivation of that area. So there's been studies of, you know, sheep kind of come in and they actually do basically pruning of the grass, and it makes the grass more lush. Also, sheep, their manure adds fertilization. And so because of having this cultivated, domesticated livestock in the area, it creates a very beautiful, almost garden-like grass. And so I think that's something that it's not rewilding, letting it grow up with briars and, you know, trees and things. It's cultivating almost like a park-like meadow because you're adding in stuff that requires work. It requires active presence and work. And it also requires a person that's ready to roll up their sleeves and get cleaning and decluttering and putting their lives back in order. So what do you think? Is cleaning something that you think is important? Have you ever thought about some of the theological significance and implications for our greater life? Let me know what you think. If you've been enjoying listening to this podcast, don't forget to leave a rating and review wherever you're listening. We are now on several other podcast apps, so you can check on the Spotify page if you want to see some of the other places that we are at. Don't forget to subscribe and share what you're listening. You can connect with me on Facebook and Instagram, and I hope you'll join me next week for the next episode. Thanks so much for joining me at a More Beautiful Life Collective podcast. I hope you go and create a life you love and cultivate your heart for God. I'm Casey Fletcher, and I hope you'll join me next week.